What's happening?
Nothing. It's just, I think a furry snuck in and then he's scritching.
What's a furry?
Not a big deal.
What's a furry?
A furry is simply just someone who likes to dress up like an animal with human characteristics. It's a form of role play. It's huge.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
But then the scritching thing you said, what is that?
Scritching is simply light scratching or grooming. It's a form of affection. Oh. Furries love to do it. It's just,
I do that.
It's fun for them.
Yeah,
exactly.
Sure.
We all do it.
But I was in the other room, and one of them kind of bumped into me. I thought the guy was going for my wallet, so I turned around real quick. It seemed different.
Did he yip or did he yiff?
He said skip, and I said, no, my name's Buddy.
Okay, he yipped. If he yipped, that means hello. If he yiffs, if that happens, well, then you got a problem.
It's, yeah, it's
a
you know what? Might have been yiff. Might have been yiff.
Well, if it happens again, just go, growl.
TBTL.
So is Donaghy going to be in the room again today?
Probably, yeah.
Well, you have to say something to him. You guys are not getting any work done.
Really? You don't think his idea of starting with the catchphrases and working backwards is panning out?
Nuts to you, McGillicuddy. Who ordered the wieners?
Beep, beep, ribby, ribby.
Oh, my God, man. We are seeing some shit we ain't never seen before.
I was just calling to complain because I'm a middle school teacher and... all day today, I had stuck in my head, Daddy, would you like some sausage?
Mmm. Well, you sure don't talk like a machine.
You better finish up that vacuuming. I'm going to have a hot mic in a minute. We're talking Garamond today.
All right, hello. Good morning and welcome, everybody, to a Thursday edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
It is our turn.
My name is Luke Burbank. I am your host.
I like turtles.
Coming to you once again from the comfortable confines of the Marriott City Center here in beautiful Minneapolis, Minnesota. And it is a beautiful Thursday. Looking out on Target Field and the Mississippi River and a Subway restaurant. Okay, the last part is less picturesque. But no, it's a great Thursday here, and we are happy to have you along for episode 2967. In a collector series, what are we going to talk about today?
Let the fun begin.
I'll tell you what, today's top stories are going to be out of this world.
I cannot believe he just told that joke.
We have two stories about space. One, the possibility of the first space crime being committed. Brought this up the other day on the show. We'll talk about that. And then they have redesigned the cosmonaut suits for Russian cosmonauts. And... the new design is going to make it hard for them to do a cosmonaut tradition that is, frankly, shocking to me that it was happening for all these years. And we will tell you what that weird tradition is coming up. Also, it is a Thursday, a.k.a. Blursday, so
my birthday today.
We'll do some Blursday messages, and we have a lot of them, so stick around for that. And stick around for this guy, the longest-running Cobra of the show, known for his drawings of tall ships, their grace... and their splendor. He is fresh off an epic sesh at the Minnesota State Fair, and he has the t-shirt to prove it.
Here's my sweet stash. Let's freaking party.
He is Andrew Bonvoy Walsh, and he joins us right now from just to my right. Good morning, friend.
This isn't my Bonvoy rant. You'll know when I'm doing it.
Well, it's the last day we can do it, bruh, because I am heading back to Bellingham this afternoon. You are going to be doing a bunch of work around here and then flying home on Friday, but we will not be here in this hotel room broadcasting tomorrow because we're going to play the Minnesota State Fair show.
Which we did yesterday.
So if you have a Bonvoy rant,
mm-hmm.
This is the time.
Just to be clear, I did not go on a Bonvoy rant at the fair live on the Minnesota Public Radio stage yesterday.
No, but I'll be honest with you. I'm very stressed out about... how we're going to talk about yesterday's show that hasn't aired yet. We've never done this before.
I was going to say.
We do a live show, and then it's not the episode for the next day. What we probably should have done is, this is going to go right into the jerk territory. We probably should have aired the thing from the State Fair today, and today recorded tomorrow's coffee. Like, that's what we should have done, because what we're doing now is recording the show, but we desperately want to talk about our experience yesterday of recording a show which has not yet aired.
How's that for if you wanted to talk about elder abuse, you should have called in yesterday when we were talking about milfoil, to paraphrase David Cross. Okay, so where to begin? Yes, I was thinking about the string. I'm glad that we're capping off the week with another live show. We did a live show on Monday as far as like the podcast feed is concerned, and we'll cap it off with a live show on Friday. So that is good, although you are right. I thought about this morning. We're in a weird position where we don't want to reference too heavily anything that we said on stage yesterday, probably getting into the whole like what happened with you and the police near the end. Probably like it's so
a lot of that
hard
is actually,
not to talk about.
But, honestly, that's still being litigated.
Yeah, I don't think I'm allowed to talk about it legally, too. And did you get your pants back or no? Or again, we probably shouldn't even talk about that right now.
I got some pants back.
Oh, just some of you.
I mean, I have pants again, but they are not the pants I started the day with.
Oh, well, we'll call that a win, right? Okay,
sorry
so here's
you, Andrew,
no problem.
I'm looking around
I'm
my special
very
sound machine.
Oh, that's right. Because I'm handing Luke is looking around. I'm handing him pens. I see he has a pen. I'm handing him pieces of paper. I see that he's got paper. What could Luke need? Of course, your handy dandy sound machine.
Yes.
All right. I'm not going to go on a huge rant here, but I will say that I was very disappointed to find out when I checked into my room here at the Marriott in St. Paul that I have to talk like this. I'm not in St. Paul. I'm in Minneapolis. But anyway. There is no free Wi-Fi here. And that is my rant. I just think
you
that
had to sign up. You had to become a Bonvoy member.
Which I'm not going to do. That's not free.
Wait. You're paying $14.95 a day?
No.
So that you don't sign up for Bonvoy?
No, I'm not. I'm using the PRPD Wi-Fi, which is free. Like, so when you have a conference
that's
here,
why you couldn't upload the show yesterday.
Well, I mean, it's still a system Wi-Fi. They just segment off.
I promise you it's slower than the – now.
I don't think you're right because I did get it for free. I mean, let's just talk about this, but I don't know why you assume that the PRPD – basically, when you have a conference center like this and they're hosting big conferences, you just pay to have a certain kind of branded part of their Wi-Fi with your own login. It's the same system. It's not like John Barth brought a
wow.
I don't know.
Well, we've managed to get off the topic of yesterday's State Fair show, so that's
not
an accomplishment.
It's not like PRX's John Barth brought a little Wi-Fi hotspot that he's got up in his room on the 20th floor.
Yeah, but I assume that the branded Wi-Fi for the conference that we are at is meant to mostly be in the area where the conference is happening.
That's not my understanding of it. And also, I used the Marriott, let's just call it Marriott branded Wi-Fi on Monday. They gave me a comp or something. I'm kind of telling the story out of order. But and there is no difference in speed between the PRX one or whatever. Because, I mean, that's what you're paying. You know, I'm sure the people who set up the I keep saying PRX, the PRPD conference that we're at. You know, I'm sure they paid a certain amount of money for Marriott to, you know, plug us all in and use some sweet, sweet Wi-Fi. But just forget about the conference aspect of this for a second. If you are somebody who is just staying in this hotel because you're taking a vacation here or doing whatever, I just don't think that you should have to sign up for Bonvoy, which is not free because you're giving away personal information and giving them the right to track you and send you things.
Bonvoy is just another word for nothing left to lose.
That's right. All right, I'll write that down as a show
title. It's too long. No, just
but anyway,
concentrate on talking.
But you don't share my outrage that just like an average person here would have to pay $15 a day for Wi-Fi or sign up for this bullshit service?
Well, I don't think the service is bullshit. I think the name Bonvoy is bullshit. I think – listen, my whole travel life is about the seamless integration of these things. I am, Andrew, as you know, an Avis wizard.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see that as a bullshit program, but it just means that I don't have to wait in the line when I get out of the airplane. All of these little things, like, you know, the Hilton Club, whatever, the various thingies, I don't mind being part of them because it means, one, I collect points, and two, I don't have to pay for the Wi-Fi. Like, it's not – it just doesn't feel invasive to me.
I just don't think Wi-Fi should be a perk. Like, you are an Avis wizard because you get certain perks. Like you say, you get a special line. You get those things. If you want to sign up for Bonvoy and you get special perks, that's great. Good on you. I don't want to sign up for Bonvoy, and I don't think that Wi-Fi should be, like – linked to that. I just think that we live in a day and age, especially like this is a nice hotel. It just seems like a money grab to me. And I think and it really maybe a money grab, but more kind of forcing me to get into this program that I don't want to get into. And I just truly believe in this day and age, like Wi-Fi should not be something that you're expected to pay for, whether it's with your information or with money when you're a guest at a place. That just seems like a real it seems really crass to me.
I'm with you. I don't think that they're thinking they're going to actually get people to pay the money for it. I think that they're thinking they're going to get people to sign up for the thing.
Yeah.
And I guess that's just where we differ, because it doesn't feel invasive to me. I don't have to give them my credit card number. I could probably give them a fake name. Mm-hmm. They don't look at your ID. You could be Buck Dusterson.
Well, you must have given an email address. I mean, that's what they're getting from you, right? Some sort of information.
I mean, but I like – listen, I have sketchy Hotmail accounts like that I've had for 20 years that I can always throw down if I need
right.
to, that I never check. I guess, you know, this is weird because this – I feel like we are very much kind of switching roles on this, which is my take is like, I don't know, give them a crap Gmail account.
Mm-hmm.
Call, you know, make up a different name or whatever, like, or do some variant on your name. Keep them from getting actually real good information on you, but then integrate yourself into the system because everything will be easier. Like, I'm basically saying just go along with it, mm-hmm. which I feel like is more what you would do. You would say, eh, you know what? This is not the hill to die on. And then I'm always dying on the wrong hill.
I don't know, man. And I don't know why it is. I mean, I'm a little bit, a little tired today, a little hungover, and so I'd like to blame my crankiness on that, but I've been feeling this way since I checked in, so that it can't be that. Like,
yeah. No, I know, I feel like...
Like, and I don't know why, but I think it has something to do with my feelings about Wi-Fi in the world we live in now. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that
it's a utility. It's like electricity. It's a thing that should be provided.
Sorry to keep cutting you off. I shouldn't, but I told you it was a rant. I shouldn't have to sign up
Buckle
for
up.
Bonvoy to get the air conditioning to work in my room. I shouldn't have to sign up for Bonvoy to have them... You replace my towels, which they do every day because I'm a terrible person and I throw them on the floor. But I don't know. Like, why is Wi-Fi not like, I don't have to sign up for Bonvoy for the lights to work in my room.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think it's a reasonable point. Like, I think I've already said this, so I'll just spare the listeners the redundancy. But I feel like for me, I have found a lot of these little clubs to actually be useful. Now, I know you're saying that, you know, they've created this false thing where it's useful to me because the alternative is to pay $15 a day, you know? And so I'm not really getting anything special from them. But I have just been, you know, all of these travel hacks and all these little clubs I have been completely, you know, sort of absorbed into the Borg of that world. And so it just doesn't seem like anything to me.
Well, here's a little thing that I'm, one of those famous stemwinders that we'll have to see how this plays out Monday when we check back in from Seattle, but I am... Stemwinder is the wrong word there. I'm not firing on all cylinders today. I meant like cliffhangers.
Oh, yeah,
I was
sure.
Looking for a classic cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
When I did get here, let's see, I checked in Sunday night. I don't think I needed Wi-Fi. And then I woke up on Monday and I saw this whole like sign up for Bonvoy or pay $15 for Wi-Fi. And so I called the front desk. Just being a cranky old man, I wasn't like rude to the person.
Did they answer the phone, Bonvoy?
They didn't.
Who needs a soundbox?
Who needs exactly? But anyway, I called there. I just called downstairs. I'm like, hey, because, okay, maybe this is what pissed me off. Let's go back a second. When I did check in on Sunday night, the kid at the front desk said, okay, here's your key. Here's your, room number. And then I said, oh, is Wi-Fi code on there too? And he said, oh, it's just your name and your room number. And, you know, that's how you log in or something like that. He's like, just go to the, you know, go to the thing and type in your name and your room number and that'll be fine. And so I do that. I go on the Wi-Fi on Monday morning and I type in my name and my room number and it takes me to a splash page that says, hey, Andrew, want to pay us $15 or sign up for Bonvoy?
Now I'm getting a bee. I can see a bee crawling under my bonnet.
Yeah.
Because what I
did not get the full information.
The mistake there is I hate it when people deliver news to you as if it's not going to be an issue later.
Thank you.
Because it's like, no, you have to say, you got to sign up for Bonvoy or it's $15. You don't just say, yeah, you just put, because for most of us, $15 a day is highway robbery for Wi-Fi.
Yes, especially when, and then again, you're paying, this is not a cheap room that we're paying for, you know? And I know I just sound like a real cheapskate here, but, you know, it just seems like when you're paying for a nice room with nice accommodations, Wi-Fi should just yes, I should be able to take that for granted. And it's funny that now you're coming around a little bit. Maybe it's good that we went back and you can – maybe part of this is the way it was presented to me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't presented to me at the desk as an, oh, okay, well, these are your options. It was, oh, yeah, Wi-Fi is your name and your number, and you type it in, and then you're up here by yourself, and it's like, oh, hello, give me your money or your information. I'm like, F you. So I call downstairs, and I just say, hey, I just want to make sure, am I seeing this right? Like, you guys don't offer free Wi-Fi? I got to pay or sign up? And they're like, yeah. And then, again, it sounded like kind of a young person on the other end of the line. They're all young people to me these days. Said, oh, well, yeah. You know what? You're here for the conference, so just go ahead and click that. Go ahead and sign up for – or not sign up, but go ahead and just click the $15 a day thing, and it won't appear on your bill because you're part of the conference. And I'm like, that's nice. And then part of me was like, that's going to come back to bite me. I don't believe that. But I did it anyway because I was just needed to be – I was just in a hurry and I needed my Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on when I actually go to the conference, when it officially starts Monday afternoon, I see they have signs around for us, the PRPD
attendees.
Glitterati, yes, is more of a word I was going to use.
Sure.
You know, here's our special PRPD login. Uh-huh. And then, you know, it's in all the rooms. So I have a feeling whoever was on the front desk on Monday when I called to be a cranky old man, mm-hmm, was telling me I should sign up for the PRPD one, but just told me to click through the regular one anyway. So my guess is I will have to go downstairs tomorrow at checkout and see that I have this expense on my bill that I'm going to try to argue off.
This is – and it shouldn't be a problem. This is the other thing, though, and this is probably adding to why I'm not that hung up on it. I regularly have the front desk take stuff off my bill. Like,
yeah.
Wi-Fi is – because, like you said, it's a utility. It should be. It flows through the, mm-hmm, air. Like – it's the easiest, like, I'll always just get the fastest, but often if I'm doing the show from wherever I am and it's like the fancy Wi-Fi is extra money, I'll get it because we need to be able to talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll just go down at the end and I'll be like, can you just take that off my bill? That was BS. And they just do. I don't even, mm-hmm, like, lie. I don't say, yeah, it didn't work. I just go, can you take it off the bill? And they're like, mm-hmm, yeah. I've never gotten any grief.
You're asking to take, like, Thursday off the bill.
Yes.
Will you take my Thursday night stay off the bill?
Yeah, absolutely.
I wasn't here much.
Hey, that mini bar was already pillaged.
Yeah.
It was pillaged when I got here.
Hagar the Horrible was here. And somebody scrawled that on the wall.
But you know what I mean? So I think that's the other thing is that I, again, we should, you know what? I think this is, when we take a break, we're going to come back.
I'm going to be so good.
We're
going to
talk about
break,
llamas, which I know is where your joy
lies.
I'm
going to reset. I'm going to be so much better at
this. I'm
going
to talk about this amazing vegetarian butcher shop I went to. You're going to talk about llamas in costume. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a very, very positive, you know, last 40 minutes of the show. That being said.
Oh, no. I have a llama rant.
Oh, God. Did the llama want you to sign up for a Avis membership?
That's right.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
I cut you off.
It's fine. I actually forgot what I was going to say, which is usually a sign that it wasn't going to be that important. I just think I don't dread having those conversations where, yeah, I'm going to go to the front desk and, sure, go, hey, can you just take it off?
Right.
And I think, again, I don't want to speak for you, but I feel like you're – that just is a thing that seems stressful and you don't really know how it's going to go.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like they'll just take it off because they always do, in, yeah, my experience.
Well, I'm trying not to,
and I'm not trying to argue that
that makes the
Bon Voy thing okay.
I'm just saying that's
a difference in how we're kind of looking down the horizon of how this would play out.
But I want you to know that on the Andrew scale, mm-hmm, I'm not as stressed out about that as maybe you might expect, or I would be in other circumstances.
Sure.
Because number one, they probably will take it off. Number two, it might not even be on there. Number three, it was $15. It is a business expense, not to be, you know me, I always say I'm cheap with the company's money, but I needed it to do TBTL. Like if American Public Media has to pay $15 so that I could have internet access before the conference started, mm-hmm, then so be it. And, you know, I would prefer not to have the conversation. I'm curious as to how it goes down. I don't necessarily want to bring it up, but we'll see. The one thing we could do, which would be kind of fun and it would get me out of a jam, would be if you put on my glasses and my,
yes,
hat and maybe this Minnesota State Fair,
yes,
shirt I'm wearing and go down there and pretend,
sure,
to be me. And
sting
say,
operation.
I'm Andrew Walsh.
Yeah. Can we mount a hidden camera in your glasses?
Yes.
We've made a hidden camera so small it can fit in this oversized novelty hat.
Or you can be like, what did they call the guys who were the Scientology creeps,
yeah,
who were going around with those GoPros on their head?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Like,
what were those guys called?
Scam squirrels? Scambusters? Some weird... Some weird name.
Scam squirrels.
No, oh, yeah, that's what they were.
Scam squirrel.
Well, we got a show title. Hey, did you see the scam squirrels at the State Fair?
Yeah, I did.
They're just beautiful.
They had a costume contest.
Okay, good. I already feel like there's some positivity that's now kind of showing up here in the conversation, which is good. Let's harness that. Let's use it during these commercials you're going to hear. And then let's come back and have a great, great top story segment here on TBTL. Don't go anywhere. I love these guys. French Kicks. This is off their album Bon Voy. This is off their album Just Sign Up for the Membership, dude. Wait, no, now I'm taking this back to negative town. My bad. Let's keep it in positive town, and let's thank some donors of the day. These are our... I want to keep, like...
You keep poking... You want to keep poking the bear?
I want to keep picking at this.
By the way, who's the polar bear on your hat? I like it. It's a very cute hat you have.
Thank you. This is a team from San Juan, Puerto Rico from the 60s, a baseball team. I got this hat at Ebbets Flannels, and for some bizarre reason, their mascot is a polar bear.
I like it.
But it's from Puerto Rico.
Yeah, that does seem like a weird mascot for a Puerto Rican
But I bought it because I like the polar bear.
It's really cool. Man. Yeah, it's so funny that I actually asked you that on the show because we were joking around. I'm wearing my Minnesota State Fair shirt, and I said, it's a T-shirt, and I said, I'm actually a little chilly, but I'm not going to put a shirt on over this because I just sort of feel like I want to come in with like State Fair vibes on the podcast.
Yeah.
And we were joking about how I should do a breakout session here at the PRPD conference. See, I even...
Yeah.
You can tell I'm doing better. I called the conference by the right name for a goddamn change, about what to wear while podcasting. Mm-hmm. I think people would attend that.
Absolutely. In fact, that may have been on the list of sessions that were happening. Let's thank Jared Blank of While Am... Oh, good. Thank you. You know what?
Here,
you know
I have them here.
You know what's not Bon Voy? The business center here at the Marriott.
You know Princess. What, though?
I've got all this.
Okay, do you?
Jared Blank is at Well Am Rhein, Weil Am Rhein. That's got to be in German,
That's
right?
What I'm thinking, too. And I'm also wondering, wasn't it on this show recently where we were talking about the license plates that were called Null? And
yes.
They got some people into trouble. I'm wondering, is there any chance that Blank is, like, we're running into that with Blank here with Jared?
Oh, yeah. Jared's last name is actually...
Maybe he just left it blank.
Maybe he's trying to just game the system. What about Brian Smolensky? What are the coding...
Smolensky means null.
Yeah, what are the coding implications of that? Brian Smolensky is in beautiful Squim, Washington. We also have Kelly Sweat in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. And then Terry Granillo in North Bend, Washington. Or would you say Granillo?
I would say... I don't know. If for some reason in this case, I'm going to say Granillo.
Okay.
But I'm probably wrong.
Granillo, let's call the whole thing off. Carmen Marshall of Edmonds, Washington, and then Simon Porzak of New York City, where we will be on October 2nd at Littlefield in Brooklyn doing TBTL Live. So, and there still are tickets for that. The Orlando show is sold out. The Seattle show is sold out. But the New York show, there are still some spots. So if you... didn't get a chance to see us in those other places, and you are anywhere near New York, come on down October 2nd.
Bring a hotspot for me, because I don't know what the hotel situation is going to be down there.
Oh, my God. This is going to be – this 3,000 tour is going to be a nightmare.
I'm already exhausting you.
You're
going to
be raging against –
I'm already exhausting
you. No, actually, you are a great travel mate, and you and I have been on some weird missions the last, like, 3-4 years, and I always find you very pleasant to travel
with. But why do I have a feeling I won't be choosing the hotels this time?
No, but you know what? I like that. And in fact, it's sort of apropos as we're talking about the donors of the day, because the way this business model works is these folks donate money, it goes to APM, and then APM pays our salaries. And I think it's very good, Andrew, that you are very careful with the company's money.
I am. I try to be.
Mm-hmm. Even if it means I got bed bugs on the Australia trip. You call that a bed bug?
You don't let them bite,
it's
though,
back.
Right?
No.
Was that?
No.
The Morrissey imitation? What was the imitation that you said you weren't doing yesterday? I can't recall.
Oh, I can't
Andrew
remember.
Bird, maybe?
Possibly.
Oh, can I just say something really
yes.
quickly that I saw on Slack that I found charming? I hope this isn't more negative townness. But you were talking, I think, on yesterday's show Oh, by the way, sorry about the tech troubles on yesterday's show, by the way. If you are listening to today's show thinking that yesterday's was just ended a half hour in very abruptly, if you go back, I think we have the technical difficulties fixed. But on yesterday's show, I think you recounted your meeting with Andrew Bird during the Thing Festival weekend last weekend. And somebody found the exact quote from you from almost exactly a year ago. It was August of 2018.
No way.
When you were talking about how you'd like to meet Andrew Bird, you just find him to be such a fascinating, creative person, and he probably wouldn't like me. And I think it was yesterday's show that you were saying, like, God. It started off nice, but then you said something that came off kind of awkward, and you never won him over again.
Well, I mean, he was. I want to make sure people know he was very nice and polite, but I could see in his eyes he was a little wigged out when I started telling him that his ensuite, his bathroom attached to his bedroom, they used a nice tile for that.
Yeah,
because I had seen an article somewhere. I want to say Dwell Magazine, but some designy magazine had profiled his home, and it was just – I just dumped a lot of information on a relatively shy person.
I didn't know you were getting into backsplashes. I thought
and that was where things started to go a little bit awry.
Can I read to you the quote? It's short. This is from Candy in Chicago, found this, and I'm trusting Candy. I haven't checked any secondary or tertiary sources on this, but it says August 17th, 2018, quote, "I feel like if I could meet Andrew Bird, like – I want to be friends with him. He just seems like such an interesting, creative guy. He would hate me." Luke Burbank, TBTL.
Well, you know, my brand is strong. Thank you so much, Jared, Brian, Kelly, Terry, Carmen, and Simon. Thank you for supporting TBTL. I had to leave the State Fair a little before you did yesterday after we recorded our show because I had to come back here and get ready for some PRPD duties, but you were free as a bird and wandering around the State Fair. And I have to tell you, when I left you, I could tell you were already really entering your bliss. Like, you were so pumped about that place. And it sounds like things got even more fun when I left.
Yeah, it was
not
fun.
Just because I was gone, but because they actually had some cool That was part of it.
No, of course not. It would have been fun if you could have hung out. I do feel a little bit bad. Boy, why would I start with this? But
this is supposed to be the positive part of the show.
No, I know. But as a friend, I will just say this, and I can cut it out later. I do feel sort of bad because I could tell, like, you had to book it back here. I could tell that you were getting a little bit of the fair bug as well, which is good. You need the fair bug to fight the bed bugs.
Yeah, no, that's the only cure.
How do you get rid of the fair bugs?
Yeah.
Only time will tell. But
who bugs the fair bugs?
You know, I was in one of those post-live show moods. It was really fun to do the live show on the NPR stage, and I'm really glad we did it, and thanks again to everybody who came out for that. And it was a pretty chill show. It wasn't like a huge pressure, but still, when you're done doing, there is a performative nature to that that is not part of my daily routine. So I was probably a little cranked up by the time we were done with it, a little maybe a lot of energy, maybe a little adrenaline rushing through the veins. And I was just really happy to be at the fair. And I also I knew that my schedule today, just my work schedule, I just have a bunch of tasks that I have to do today. And I want to check out some more PRPD stuff. And so I was kind of thinking, okay, Thursday is going to be a really busy day for me. So I'm calling it a day as far as work is concerned. When we're done with the live show, we wrap that up probably around two-ish or something. And then I'm like, I'm just going to hang out. And I was prepared to do it by myself, too. I figured we had a little group of friends, including Brandy Brown, who was on stage with us and is, like, obsessed with the Minnesota State Fair, and she knows all the ins and outs, and she wanted to show us around a little bit. So probably you, me, her, Stubot, a few other folks, we wandered around probably together for about an hour, right? But I told you during that time, I said, I'm staying here until sundown. Like, I don't know if that means me alone on a Ferris wheel eating, like, a giant elephant ear. I'd never go on a Ferris wheel, obviously.
I would pay to see that.
Oh, my God. I'm too scared of Ferris wheels. Honestly, that's one of the scariest rides I can think of.
No, there's a scarier ride there. I think it's called the Skyscraper. I videotaped it. Yeah. Did you see that thing?
This is the ripoff of the Space Needle?
No, it's a thing where there are two cages that you sit in. And they're on opposite ends of these big swinging arms, and they go around, and you're going in the opposite direction of the people at the other end of the other arm.
Okay.
But the thing was,
I didn't see that.
It
then. I'm
looked like
it
was 300 feet tall.
Did they also, I'm trying to figure out if I looked at this thing and thought it was something else. Did they also have that ride that you see at a lot of fairs where it's, again, like 300 feet tall, but it's like a ball that's in between like four rubber bands and it's swinging you way up in the sky? Because Genevieve did that once, and I've seen that at other fairs, and I'm pretty sure. Oh, okay. Luke's showing this to me. That is scary, and that's not what I was talking. I saw another scary ride that was also scary.
I videotaped this so I could send it to Carrie to be like, can you get a load of this? Because one time I was on the like miniature version of that with her and our friend Jake at the Cedro Woolley 4th of July festivities. So imagine the thing I just showed you from the state fair, but like the shrunken version. In other words, it was like maybe 20 feet off the ground. I was so terrified that I could not make sound. I was absolutely
and this
silent.
One is like four times the size.
Oh, I mean, eight times the size. Easily eight times the height. And Carrie thought it was so hilarious because as we would go around and around, our friends were in the other sort of seating cage. And so you'd at the bottom and the top of the rotation, you go past the other people and they're just laughing their asses off with glee. And Carrie is laughing. And I am just like, because I got this intrusive thought that was, what if this thing came detached from the ride?
When did you start thinking that?
Like,
back.
I was like, we're definitely going to die. Because it was like, we were getting spun around so fast that if there was a problem, if a pin came out and we flew off, I started thinking that. And then I just was like freaked out. And the more freaked out I got, the more Carrie thought it was funny. So I wanted to show her the ride I would 100% never go on.
I know that I'm not on the most interesting story right now, but I want to finish my thought about feeling a little bit bad because I basically knew yesterday that I was like, I'm going to hang out at this fair. And I know that you wanted to, but you had to come back. Or I got the impression that you definitely would have stayed a little bit longer, but you had to come back here to like literally be on some panels. You did your FDR fireside chat.
Yes.
There's other conference stuff that you had to be there for. And then you were tempted to come back the next day, which would be today. I can tell you were like, maybe I'll come back tomorrow. And I was like, well, today's my day, dude. You'd have to come back tomorrow by yourself because tomorrow's my work day. And I just sort of felt bad that we're kind of like out of sync with that because it would have been fun just to hang out at the fair all day with you yesterday. Like, we don't really do we don't do stuff like that anymore.
Yeah.
But I kind of felt bad. I kind of was blowing you off.
We don't even sleep in the same bed anymore, Andrew.
We're not even spooning during this podcast. No. But clearly,
you're not going. I charge $16 to spoon. Bonvoy.
Can I just sign up for Burr Boy? You're not going back there today to the fair because you're going to get you an airplane. I am not going back today, but I had a wonderful time yesterday wandering around. I ended up hanging out with Brandy and her friend Jeremy all day. Brandy knows it felt like I was in Goodfellas at times. She's cutting between exhibits. Like, she knows, like, she just knows how to get around this fair. Like, she's got some, like, it's some sort of a secret passageway everywhere.
Right.
It was amazing.
I will say this, if I can, just quickly.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of hype around the Minnesota State Fair. It lived up and exceeded the hype. And I'm getting to this kind of age where I don't, like, things that feel like they're going to be a hassle are not appealing to me.
Uh-huh.
You know, whether it's a music festival or you name it. And, you know, a state fair seems like kind of a lot of hassle. In fact, I believe, you know, they set the record the other day for the most people coming through in one day, and it was...
That was yesterday?
No, I think it was maybe this previous weekend.
It must have been the weekend.
Like 100,000 people came through.
Because it wasn't Wednesday.
Some
I was talking
insane
to them about
insane number.
It.
Yeah. But anyway, and yet, even though there were so many people, and it's sort of... It looks like it's going to be a hassle. It was so cool that it totally...
Yeah.
It was worth it. Now let me just – well, I'll let you finish your story and then I'll tell you why you shouldn't feel bad that I had to leave the fair.
No, go ahead because I'll talk about what I did, but why should I not feel bad?
Because what happened was we were walking around. I was having a great time. We went and we saw the seed art, which was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just like giant pumpkins and butter princesses and the whole thing. But I realized at some point I don't want to cram a bunch of crap fair food down – if I'm going to eat some lunch, I don't actually – because, you know, if you take meat out of the equation, there's not a whole lot of stuff at the fair. There are elephant ears and French fries and things, but I got this little kind of – I got this idea in my head, and it was from listener Kit, who told me about this place called the Herbivorous – how would you say that word? The Herbivorous? Herbivorous? The
Herbivorous Butcher.
The Herbivorous Butcher, which is a butcher shop – here in Minneapolis, that all of the meat and everything is plant-based.
Mm-hmm.
And once I got that in my head that I kind of wanted to have something from there instead of, like, you know, an elephant ear or something,
mm-hmm.
I kind of was like – I was enjoying the fair, but I wasn't sad to leave because mm-hmm. what I did was I got in an Uber, and I had the Uber take me to the Herbivorous Butcher, And I went in there.
What's it like in there?
It's exactly like a butcher shop, but in the back where people would normally be cutting up meat, they're combining like powders and things to make all of this sort of like, you know, meat-like substance. They have ribs. They have, which by the way, the ribs were okay. I don't think you would eat one and be, like think, oh, this is a, you know, a real rib.
I can't believe you got ribs.
Because I was just saying,
I just wanted to try everything.
I walked in there and I was like, I'm going to have one of everything because I want to see how close they can get to the real thing. And also I was like, I might start ordering this stuff and have it delivered to Bellingham if it's really good.
They didn't put a fake bone in the rib. That'd be wasteful and weird.
Not a fake bone, but it looked, I mean,
it was like a McRib, like kind of in the shape of a boneless rib.
But very convincing. Just imagine like a really, really tender looking spare rib. I mean, it was, I don't mind the taste of ribs. In fact, I like ribs. I don't like that they're messy to
eat. That's what I was surprised about. Yeah, so it wasn't a baby back. It was more like a spare rib that you could eat with a fork.
Yeah, so that was pretty good. But then they have fake deli turkey, fake roast beef. I had an Italian, like a hot Italian hoagie that really and truly, you bite into it, you would not know.
I believe that
you're not eating
a sandwich you can get away with a
lot. So I was really excited to go to that place. So I wasn't sad to leave the fair because, again, I was having a great time there. But something in my mind turned where I was like, I don't want to waste my like lunch because it was like a late lunch, early dinner. I don't want to waste this on just like pizza in a cup, you know, or whatever. And plus, there weren't that many options. So anyway, I actually had a really nice afternoon, and I was very excited about this herbivorous butcher. So thank you, listener Kit, for the recommendation.
Well, as you
they also have fake llama meat at the herbivorous butcher, and it is, I mean, you would not know it's not real llama.
But they kill, how many fake llamas do they have to kill? That's so sad.
Well, you know what? You make a llamlet, you break a few llamas. What? Okay, I'm done. I'll leave now.
To make a llamlet, you got to break a few legs. I don't know. Got dark. Okay, just a quick couple.
I was
of
trying to transition
here.
You into llama talk.
I know. Yeah, a couple of highlights
professional
here that
broadcasting.
I want to do. I want to tell you about a couple of things, and we'll start with the llamas. I just feel like I'm in a position where I have so much I want to tell, and I'm trying to figure out what is the interesting part. Well, it turns out that, and you're going to hear our friend Brandy talk about this on tomorrow's podcast, which was recorded live on stage yesterday.
I have it all written down.
Exactly. That there is a llama costume contest. And what is a llama costume contest? Well, imagine a dress-up party that maybe you and your partner would go to, where you both dress up in a themed, some sort of themed costume. Mm-hmm. Laurel and Hardy, if you will. Mm-hmm. Fred and Ethel. Mm-hmm. Lucy and the other guy.
Yeah.
Desi.
Yeah.
But instead of being couples, it is children and their llamas. Most of the kids are between ages 6 and 8. It's put on by the 4-H. And it is a thing. Like, it is a thing. Apparently, I didn't realize that this is, first of all, so well known. I was posting pictures of it on my Instagram, and I heard from a friend who lives in New Orleans, and I know her from L.A., where she was born and bred. I'm posting these photos of these llamas and these kids dressed up, and she's like, you're doing my bucket list thing right now. Like, I don't know that she's ever been to Minnesota. No, I guess she has been. She had some friends here. But she's like, no, this is a thing. And the crowd to get into the llama barn was thick. We got there like 45 minutes early, and there's already like all the bleachers are taken up, and we're like trying to like kind of poke our heads up. But again, Brandy is you and Brandy would get along thick as thieves, because she's always hacking her way like through life and like kind of getting the edge on things. And she's like, I have an idea. We're going to come around to this gate area where there's maybe, I'm going to say, 10 people standing, and it's kind of it almost feels like backstage of the llama show, right? And some kids are like giving llamas baths behind us, which was just so adorable.
My God, that's so cute.
They tie the llama up to like a little thing on the wall, and then there's a hose, and they're like putting like some sort of, it looks like dish detergent, but I'm sure it's not, like some sort of soft soap on their hands and shampooing up their llamas and then cleaning them off. These are just like regular llama kids, by the way. These aren't even the costume kids. And so we're kind of hanging out back there, and there's just like kind of a cattle gate, if you can picture it. And we're looking out into the ring where the show was going to be put on. And on the other side from us, opposite from us, is where all of the bleachers are already filled up. As we're standing there, somebody starts bringing more bleachers in with a little front end loader, and they're putting more bleachers like that are going to be in the ring. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Maybe we should have stayed over there so that we, when they open up the doors, we can run and grab some of those. But I'm like, well, we'll probably have a pretty good view right here. Well, as soon as the last bleacher is placed down, somebody in front of us, and I do not think this person was allowed to do it. It was not Brandy. It was not me. It was just some other person who was watching this go down, kind of looks over his shoulder, his other shoulder, and then just opens the gate, the cattle gate, and we...
Was this when you Instagrammed the picture, you said, like, it's madness
it
at
was
the llama?
Madness. It was mob rule.
Yeah, that's what you said.
As I said, I didn't know the people... Once we got our seats, I didn't realize the people in front of me were kind of listening to what I was saying, but I was like, I always thought I'd be part of martial law, but I never thought it would be in a llama contest. It was crazy. Like, somebody opened this gate, and we just all rushed across the you know, muddy or the dirt floor of the llama ring, and we rushed, and I got one of the last seats on the bleachers, and so we had a great view of it. And then they open up some other gates, and there's just like a crowd, literally standing room only. Like, we had some friends who were trying to get in. They're like, is there any chance for three seats by you? And I'm just like, you have no idea what we're dealing with in here, my friend.
Your only hope is to literally dress up like a llama. One of you is the front of the llama. The other one is the back end. I think this happened in an Olsen Twins movie. And you sneak into the competition. That's the only way you're getting in.
And you know what, Luke? It was worth it. It was so cool. Like, so I'm going to try to describe some of my favorites to you. And again, so these all have to be kind of like couples costumes. This is how out of touch I am. I was literally thinking, and not as a joke, I was thinking, oh, I'll bet you there'll be a lot of Game of Thrones ones. These are sixth graders and eighth graders. I'm really glad there was no Khaleesi mm-hmm. and her stallion who mounts the world costume.
Khal Drogo.
Although the llama who mounts the world.
All right. I'm writing that down.
There was some of them were just good in the way that they were presented. Like, there was a little girl who dressed up like an alien, and her llama was a UFO spaceship with, like, spinning lights that really lit up. That was amazing. They might not have spun, but I'm trying to zhuzh it up for the radio. It was really intricate. That person did not make it to the finals, which really pissed me off. I had started to develop some theories about the Fix being in on some of these. There was a Vanna White, a young Vanna White. She was in eighth grade. This girl was dressed in kind of like a Vanna White-esque kind of, what would you call those, like kind of a cocktail dress or mm-hmm. something. And her llama was dressed up like the Wheel of Fortune board on one side, and on the other side it was the Wheel of Fortune wheel, like very intricate. Kind of picture a sandwich board on the llama. That was amazing. There was a Humpty Dumpty. And
I thought you were going to say the Humpty Dance.
No.
I would have been very excited about.
There was one who was dressed up like Shock G.
Uh-huh.
And the llama
was Money B. What's up, Cole Shockin'? Tell the people what you mean. What do you mean what we mean? Tell them what we mean when we're R-H-Y-M-I-N on the funk.
There was one person who dressed up. I have no idea the age or gender or whatever of this person. Not that maybe that matters. But... because they were head to toe dressed like a Lego person, and their llama was dressed up like an Eggo waffle for the Lego My Eggo wordplay.
Oh, dig it. Did they make it to the final?
I think they did, yeah. There was like some sort of underwater diver. Oh, good joke by my new friend Jeremy, who I was hanging out with. Sometimes these llamas would have to go to the bathroom, just like in the middle of them. So the kids would kind of like, do the round. They would kind of like, they would introduce one. They would have a written statement that the judge would kind of read. They would lead their llama kind of in a circle around and then stand in line, right? And then they'd all just stand there and wait to be judged. Very like kind of dog show-ish, right? But sometimes when they were just first starting their round, the llamas would maybe get understandably nervous or something. And so,
aroused.
And I didn't see any arousal.
Oh, okay. That's after dark.
I have like seven jokes that I just like scrolled through and then I'm passing on all of them. There was a certain spot, and somebody told me ahead of time that llamas once, I don't know if it's the smell of the defecation or what it is, But sometimes one llama going to the bathroom will prompt other llamas to go to the bathroom. And just to be clear, they don't actually have a llama bathroom. They just do it in front of you, which is really effed up when they're wearing pants. That is true. Like one of them was dressed, like one of these girls was dressed up like a hippie, like a kind of, it was somewhere between a disco and a hippie. And they were both wearing like these really big bell bottoms. And this llama turns its ass to us with bell bottoms. And already you're kind of like, oh, this is just making me a little uncomfortable. And then it just drops a lot in front of you.
So they at least had the foresight to leave a hole in the back of the pants so that the llama could go to the bathroom.
Yes, this is not their first llama rodeo at all. Literally, they all of these costumes allowed for that. But there is one place in the track, kind of near the beginning, when the kids are coming out to do their first round, where I think it became the place to go to the bathroom. So some of these llamas are coming out, then they would stop in the same place and do their business. You can tell the judges or the people who were kind of emceeing it were very. They know how to vamp during an animal going to the bathroom. This is just,
they've been through this.
Exactly, part of the deal. So I don't know how I got on the defecation part of it, but it was really, oh, I know. I was going to give a shout out to Jeremy's joke, because this one llama was dressed up like a race car and they're reading like the artist statement or whatever it is. And the MC is reading like, you know, this is a race car, blah, 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 number 3, named after whatever. You can see that it has flames coming out the back of it. They said that while it's going to the bathroom. Jeremy's like, you can say that again. It certainly does. I was like, oh, wow. Good on you, buddy. Just amazing. So I have them up on my Instagram stories. If you're on Instagram, what am I? I think I'm Andrew_Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
And those things are going to disappear pretty soon because stories disappear. But I think there's a way I can kind of feature them so they'll be there forever if you want to check out. It's not me just trying to shamelessly get new followers, because frankly, I don't care. But I just think you're really going to enjoy these photos.
Well, it's actually interesting you talk about the llamas going to the bathroom, because that relates to something I want to talk about in top stories.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
4-H kids singing. I'll save that for another day. There was a lot going on at the fair.
Well, give me the 2-minute version.
As Brandy mentioned on yesterday's show that you're going to hear tomorrow.
the 4-H musical.
There's a 4-H musical with kids ranging in age from, I think, freshmen in high school to freshmen in college, which is actually kind of a big range. And they put on something that she perfectly described as like haystack glee.
Mm-hmm.
So they put on musicals loosely around a theme. And this year's theme was kind of mall life and summer jobs and kind of feeling the teen angst. Mm-hmm. Of having to work during the summer, but then coming around and kind of realizing that, oh, you know what? I had a lot of good experiences and made some friends. And it was really something to see. I mean, my big takeaway from it was how age is really getting to me, because I sat there, you know, let's say it's a half hour performance, and I realized like the younger ones there, like I'm clearly old enough to be these kids' dad. And I don't have a lot of things that I go to where I watch kids perform, you know? And I'm also of a very sarcastic, eye-rolly generation, and probably DNA or genes or whatever. And so if I had peers who were doing this when I was their age, I would just roll my eyes. I'd make fun of it. I would want nothing to do with it. And I'm just sitting here watching these kids so damn enamored, like getting really close to being emotional, mm-hmm. which is something that I think you can maybe associate with a little
Absolutely.
Bit, right?
Absolutely.
Because I'm seeing these kids give it their all.
Yeah.
And just, and kind of also knowing like, God, if I was in school with you, I'd be like making fun of this with my friends, which kind of made me feel bad, because mm-hmm. I'm like, they're just trying. Like, I just give them all so much credit. Like, I, even at age 42, would still be embarrassed to dance at a wedding, right?
Right.
And I'm not going through puberty, and people really aren't judging me anymore. Like, these kids have so much going on. I remember what a tough age those were. And they're just out there and saying, I'm just going to do this. And we talked to a few of them afterwards. Like, they're not even all theater kids. It's kind of like this is their one little theater outlet they do. And it's kind of like you get this impression that, like, I don't know. I just started building a lot of backstories for them all.
Yeah.
And a lot of them just seemed like, you know, some of them seemed really nerdy. Other ones I could tell, I'm like, oh, I bet you you're like the kind of like the – you're the popular one at camp or whatever. And I don't know, man.
What was
I,
the best song?
They were all covers. How can you pick a favorite? No, there were a bunch that I didn't know. I was actually asking the folks I was there with. I'm like, do you know this one? They're like, no. Maybe it's from Glee. They did a couple of. You could tell an older person definitely set this up because there was a couple of like rock and roll songs from like the. Oh, that's right. I think they did some song like Rock and Roll Won't Die. And I was like, I could question the premise of that because like, I could literally see rock and roll dying in your guys' lifetime, whatever. But anyway, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to that. It was really, really sweet. And I'm really glad. It was kind of funny. I was like, who am I that I'm having this reaction to it? But I was also like, I'm glad I'm this person.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand that because like you said, I think what happens is as you get older, you're sort of cutting people more and more slack, and you're less and less. In fact, you know what? I, on Monday night, was talking to somebody here, and they were reminding me of an impression that I used to do of somebody that I used to work with.
Oh, okay.
And I was so mortified because when I was 22 or 24, and I thought I knew everything, and I thought the funniest thing to do was kind of just make fun of people behind their back, I used to do this impression of this person. And the person who I was talking to was like laughing at me, like, oh my God, that was so killer. And I was like, I would never do that now.
Yeah.
Because it's just like what I realize is, and if I can quote Pete Holmes, he's like very into this Ram Dass guy, this kind of, you know, spiritual leader. And I think this guy Ram Dass says we're all just walking each other home, you know, which is the idea of like we're all just kind of doing our best. And it's like, I don't know, I just don't think I saw that very much when I didn't realize that as much when I was younger as I do now. And I think it just takes being alive for longer, screwing more things up, and just kind of like having the experience of being a human. And so at 42, when you watch those 4-H kids giving it their all, you know, at the Minnesota State Fair, you just have this like empathy and appreciation for them. And then you have to square it with who you were at that time.
Yeah.
And then there's that also that kind of level of regret. So there's a lot going on. I mean, it makes sense that it would be kind of emotional.
Yeah, yeah. So I adopted one of the kids.
Oh, man.
Taking them back to Seattle.
Is that who's in the corner?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll feed you in a second.
Jesus. Well, I have a llama in my room.
Okay, sorry I cut off top stories.
No. These top stories, I had a feeling we would just end up talking about the fair and about vegan meat the whole day or the whole show. But I also felt like anytime we don't have top stories, that's when I'm like, oh, we could have used a couple. And then when we have them, we usually don't need them. But I did think this was kind of interesting. They've made these new spacesuits for the cosmonauts. And these Russians that are going to be going out in space are not going to be able to do the tradition that all cosmonauts have done since the first cosmonaut to go into space, which is they are not going to be able to go up and pee on the tire of the spaceship or the apparatus that holds the spaceship, because this is apparently the tradition in Russia. For luck, the cosmonauts would on the friggin' tarmac walk up to like a tire that's associated with the apparatus of the spaceship, whip it out and urinate on it. And if they're a female cosmonaut, they would bring a jar of urine to splash on it.
I was going to ask. I'm like, well, clearly this was a men's tradition, and now, of course, there are women cosmonauts. That's interesting, but they really got in on the action. That seems bringing your own vial so you can take part in this tradition is not. I wouldn't go about doing that.
Women astronauts are not obligated to participate, but some have been known to bring vials of their urine to splash on the tire.
Come on, guys.
I mean, that is if you want. If you want a snapshot of the difference in culture of Russia and the U.S.,
yeah,
like, can you imagine Neil Armstrong whizzing on the Apollo 11? I'm not, by the way, I'm not even trying to judge it and say it just would never happen in America.
Because he pooped on it, right?
Exactly.
Famously. Yeah.
Well, he was wearing disco pants.
Yeah, right. I was going to say.
The problem is Buzz Aldrin had already pooped there.
Is that what the problem here is, though, for real, that that they haven't llamaed up these pants?
The new, well, it's one suit. So one thing is the old cosmonaut suits, they had to custom make them. But now the new design, they're actually like reusable, which is kind of funny to me because it's like, how many people are going to go in space? You could custom make the spacesuits. Is that really saving you that much money?
Yeah.
And also, what if you get the spacesuit of the person who had BO?
Right.
That sucks.
Yeah. Oh,
but the new
God.
Space, the old ones have the zipper, a zipper that is in the shape of a V that ends on your crotch.
Oh, wow.
So you could unzip it and do your thing. The new one just has one long zipper and it goes in a different sort of direction or a different part of the suit, so you cannot easily just go to the bathroom on the friggin' spaceship, like on the outside of the spaceship. Or
Because if you're inside the spaceship, you're not wearing the suit. Because I was going to say that just seems like a design flaw, generally speaking, because you don't have to like take it all off when you're in the restroom. But
there's also apparently like a lot of weird sort of traditions. See if I can find this on the fly. That the like kind of superstitions that the cosmonauts do. They go out and they I can't find it now in the article, but they do this other thing where they go out and they plant a tree like before they take off. They do a bunch of like ritualistic stuff that I don't feel like the U.S. astronauts would do. A U.S. astronaut, Anne McLean, is potentially in trouble because she is alleged to have, while in space on the International Space Station, logged into her estranged wife's bank account. She says to double check that there was enough money in there to pay the bills and such. The estranged wife would say, no, you were getting up in my business where you were not supposed to be. The actual nuts and bolts of the story are kind of sad because it's just a thing that happens a lot, which is people, they're going through a breakup and there's, you know,
there's a kid involved.
There's a kid involved, and it's a fairly typical story about what happens when people split up. But it's crazy to me that she, the International Space Station, you can log into like a Chase bank account.
Yeah, right.
Like, how wild is that?
Yeah. Do you have to sign up for Bonvoy to do that? Here was one thing that I found. Again, I don't think, I don't know if this is like the most interesting, but I wanted to just get your thoughts on it. This was an interesting article with a lot of details, and like you were saying, a lot of them are kind of personal details that I don't think we have to get into here. But one of them is interesting. I didn't realize that this is the astronaut who kind of – we thought she kind of got snubbed because they were supposed to be the first –
speaking of spacesuits.
Yeah, the first all-female spacewalk when two female astronauts were supposed to do this spacewalk thing. And then they like pulled one of them at the last minute and they said it was because they didn't have enough suits, right?
Yeah.
That's what they said. And then was it A.D. Bryant or somebody did a
SNL
skit about it? And that's how I think I heard about it, because I think you told me about the skit or something. Now there's kind of like – it's unconfirmed, but there's some speculation that maybe that whole thing about like, oh, we're not having her go on the spacewalk because the suit didn't fit or we don't have an extra suit. Maybe it was because they already knew that this scandal was starting to bubble up and they were trying to – because you read the same piece I did, right?
Yeah.
I'm not making that up. There was just kind of a – somebody was raising that question.
Yeah, because it was – the timing was kind of funky because there was a spacewalk was supposed to happen, and then also at the same time her ex was, you know – talking to, well, I think it was maybe even her ex's parents. Somebody was talking to NASA going like, hey, this was not cool that she was logging into this bank account from space. So who knows? Maybe that was then that's when they pulled the spacewalk and blamed it on not having enough space suits that would fit them.
And if that, the only
I feel like that's something you'd check off a checklist before you went up there, right?
Yeah, I can't tell if that adds credibility to that or not, because part of me thinks, well, if they were making up a story, God, that's a shitty story to make up because you're obviously going to be made fun of for that.
Right.
So it's almost like it's so bad, it seems like there
it's
must
probably
be some
the
truth
real thing
to it. Yeah, I don't know.
I love the idea that the spacesuits are just sitting right by the door of the like hangar where the spaceship is.
On your way
and
out.
And it's like, oh my God, we left them. They're just sitting there. But again, yeah, the idea that you – I guess why I found it interesting was because like it makes me realize that space can be mundane at times. I feel like if I were able to go into space, and I've been really obsessed with the Apollo 11 mission because it was the anniversary, it's like I would feel like the whole time I was in space, I would just be like, oh my God, I'm in space. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Like
oh my God.
Like a dog going on a ride.
Yeah, just like freaking out. But I think you probably are like that for a day or two. And then at some point you're just like, what's going on with my ex's bank account?
Yeah, right.
At some point
yeah.
you're just like stalking someone on Instagram who you met and you thought they were cute. Like it speaks to what is kind of at some point a fairly mundane existence up there.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. And actually, I don't like to let a day go by without referencing 2001 A Space Odyssey in some way or another. But I think movies like that actually do a pretty good job of showing how boring it gets in space for these people, like once you're up there a couple of days.
Speaking of Kurt Anderson, because of course that's from Studio 360, I had to do this event last night and had to, it makes it sound bad, I got to do this event. And it was organized by the people that do the distribution of Livewire. So they're in charge of getting Livewire to various radio stations and trying to get us on as many radio stations as possible. Well, this distribution company also handles Studio 360. And they had these like headshots of everyone, all of the hosts, just on this like 45-second loop, and they would just show up on all these flat screens, TVs that were mounted around this like very cool loft space where we had this event. And the picture that they use of me, which I don't know how this got into the water supply, it is such an unflattering photo.
Oh, really?
And it just...
black and white?
No, no, I would take black and white. It was just, it's just a random picture, but at some point, somebody at Livewire decided to put it like put it next to the Livewire logo and I guess start sending it around. As,
is it on the site now? I kind of want to see it. I mean,
I think I asked somebody a long time ago, could we maybe replace that picture? Because I don't love it.
What like what is the situation? You say it was a headshot, or was it a live thing?
I think I was sort of posing for it. It was, I think, kind of an informal headshot. I feel like I have a lot of double chin going on in it. Now, the funny part is I'm fatter now than I was when the picture was taken. So a current picture would not necessarily be more flattering. It was just kind of like, I don't know, there's something about the picture I don't love. And of, there have been many, many pictures now taken of me, and I could find one that I would feel a little better about. And so as I'm talking to people and as I'm trying to be like, hey, you know, let me tell you about our radio show, every time I would look around, a giant, like 4 foot large me would just show up behind. I thought of the Kurt Anderson thing because Kurt's picture was right before me. And all of Kurt's pictures were very flattering. They were, no offense, Kurt, but they were from 20 years ago.
I don't know what Kurt Anderson looks
like. I had
like.
Dinner with Kurt Anderson last year at the PRPD. He's lovely. But yeah, they're using pictures of him from 20 years ago, and he just looks great, and he's having these stimulating conversations, and he's all hunky, and I'm and then it's just like big old Burbs face just like showing up like right on the heels of Kurt Anderson. Every time I'd be getting somewhere with a conversation, I would go, oh, I'd see myself.
You know, I'm looking at the photo now, and actually, the giant pencil that you're holding covers up a lot of the double chin. And the,
that was
and
the whole idea.
The big foam cowboy hat, I can't even see your bald spot, so I actually think it's... It's not as bad as you think.
I'm trying to actually see if I can find the picture now because I know it's on the internet somewhere. Oh, yeah, here it is.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you do a Google image, I'm sure, even if it doesn't
it's
live
this
anywhere.
One.
Oh.
And I know you're going to, nice. I know what you're going to say. I know. Well, obviously the people at Livewire thought it looked nice because they made
it the show pick. I actually think it's a really nice looking photo.
I know.
I think you're really ugly in real life.
I know. I know that. And it's true. And it's absolutely true.
No, no. No, but I know what that's like. I mean, There are, you know, much fewer photos of me out there in professional photos, but like I will look at one, and like when we had those headshots taken and then they were sent to APM back in 2015 when we were new with the company, and some people who were putting together marketing materials and stuff are like, hey, this is what we've made using these photos, and I was just appalled. I was like, You must have taken the worst photo of me. Like, there, how do you? You must have had nothing to work with. Like, I'm a monster. How are you using this? And I really truly believe that the person that I'm thinking of in this case was like, that's a nice photo of you. You look nice. And then you have to come to this realization. Like,
no, that's
what
my
I
face.
Look like
that's
all the time. Yeah. Like, because I can't look at that. Like, I can't.
I tell myself that I'm very unphotogenic, but that when I'm moving, I look different.
Is that why during the show you've just been sprinting from one side of the room?
That's why I've cowered in a corner for about the first 20 minutes. I honestly tell myself in my mind sometimes that, okay, I know these pictures are sort of telling me what I look like, but it's different when I'm just like active and in space and
which
moving
is probably
around.
Actually true.
Oh, God,
to
I hope.
Because like if you took a photo of us right now while we're both talking, the photo would be terrible because our mouth would be like mid-word, our chins would be. But when you're actually in the room and the mouths are actually moving, they're not like these just instances of awkwardness.
Right. Yeah, that's, I got a lot riding on that theory, too, by the way.
Instances of awkwardness. All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
There's a right way to rock and a wrong way to roll. You can just listen to your soul. Just remember that life is number one. You can be having so much fun. Just remember that life is much fun. You can be number one.
All right, boy, you said it at the beginning of the show today. We have a lot of Blursdays, and, you know, I always do that thing. I'm always looking for patterns, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, what month was it 9 months ago? Well, I guess we know it's December. Like, is December a big nookie month?
Ooh.
Sorry. Ooh. Strike that from my vocabulary. I'm not using that one again.
Also, I don't think of nookie as sex.
Oh, really?
I'm not saying I'm right. I'm saying if you ask me to rank... Like, nookie seems like third base, maybe second base. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Yeah,
I'm saying I, in my mind, have for some reason categorized nookie as, like, somehow stopping short.
Well, then,
like, intercourse is, that means first base, right?
Yes.
How did I get a baby at 17?
Right? Yes. Well, now I want to kind of just strike that all from the record because I was uncomfortable with that word anyway. So if I can rephrase it, let me just say this. Was December a month when people were making a lot of whoopee?
Now that
that's got
means...
to... So let us start with Alex, who says, hi, guys. Every year for the past 3 years, my wife's only birthday request is a mention from TBTL. And every year, like a blackguard...
Ooh.
I don't know what that is.
It is a...
Can I say that?
I believe you can.
Okay.
Yeah, that's like an old... I think that's in, like, I don't know, Shakespeare or the Bible or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a person who's letting their spouse down.
Okay, well, every year, like a blackguard, I forget. Not this year, so if you could... Please mention her birthday this year. That would be wonderful. Her name is Tara, and her birthday is September 2nd from Kew Gardens, Queens. This is Alex. Thanks a million. I recognize this name, Luke. Somebody who goes by the name P. Fletch.
I don't know.
Are you familiar with P. Fletch?
Vaguely.
Our dear friend P. Fletch says, happy Blursday to my old school homie and fellow 10, Ivan. Before Ivan and I were classmates, he went to school with Jen. Jen Flash Andrews, Luke.
What?
Yes. She sent a photo as well. I can forward it to you later. A photo like from that class back in the 80s. Yeah, yeah. At Jesus Creek. We're old now, Ivan. Well, you'll be old tomorrow. Happy Blursday from your TBTL daddy.
No,
please,
come on, Phyllis.
P. Fletch. To her credit, Phyllis never used the term making whoopee in that, so she's still winning. April says, I'd like to send a belated Blursday shout out to my longest running co-10, James. His birthday was on the 21st. He is the best, and I'm so happy he's another year older with me. Power out.
Aw, that's sweet.
That is sweet. You know what is not sweet is the fact that apparently I don't travel. Even though this is titled Andrew Walsh Extended Right Way to Rock Remix, it's actually only a couple of minutes long, so I got to keep restarting
Okay.
it. Sorry about that. It can be a little bit awkward, but hey, we're doing a road show. How about this from Jason, who says, I'm here to wish myself a happy 41st Blursday.
Sure.
I've been a 10 for about 16 months.
All right.
That is, first of all,
relatively new.
It is relatively new.
The time span of this show.
And relatively specific.
I wonder what happens. Who was he making nookie with 16 months ago when they whispered TBTL into his ear? We met somebody at the State Fair show who had been listening. I think, you know, had heard of the show or heard the show a long time ago, but said his schedule didn't really permit listening. And fairly recently, he got really into the show. And it's like, I was saying to him, like, I think his name was Chad. It blows my mind when anyone starts listening to this show, like, in recent years. I don't know why that is. I kind of feel like a bunch of people got on board with this thing when it started. And then those are the people that understand what the show is, that like the show. It's now just like part of their life and their routine. But when somebody in 2018 or 19 tunes in and says, yes, I'm going to make room in my life for this happening an hour plus 5 days a week, I for some reason find that very shocking and pleasantly shocking. Is that a sensation that can happen? Pleasantly shocking?
Yes, most definitely. I've had it before while making Whoopi.
Oh, God. And now we can't cut that out. I was trying to help you.
Well, first of all, I don't know for sure. We don't have necessarily research to prove it. I do think that my patented Bonvoy rants are bringing in kind of a new generation of listeners.
I thought we were going to cut that out, too.
Wait, what can I reference? Can I reference anything on today's show?
No, I honestly didn't think we were recording.
Actually, are we? We are good. Okay. But by the way, this is still Jason's message.
Okay.
He alludes that he was dropping a lot of hints to his wife, Taya. Is it Taya? T-H-E-A?
Thea, maybe?
Oh, Thea, okay. She didn't call in last year or write in, so he had wish himself one. But that's not the interesting part. No offense, Jason. Here's the interesting part. I am Jason from the Bellingham Airport, who lets Matt from Avis know he's on the podcast.
Oh, that's funny.
This is your connection, Luke.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen to this. Jason says, if Luke ever needs a free parking spot at the Bellingham Airport, I know a guy. It's me.
That is a hookup.
I had a feeling you'd be happy to hear
that. I wonder
if
he's doing that because he knows I'm an Avis wizard.
Maybe, because you don't want to get on the wrong side of a wizard.
Say bon voy to high parking prices at the Bellingham Airport.
By the way, is that Avis's slogan right now? Don't get on the wrong side of a wizard.
Were you the don't cross a wizard? Were you supposed to read the part where Jason is offering me free parking? Or was that on the record, off the record?
I don't know. He didn't indicate. When you write into a podcast, man, that's what you get. Jonathan, who, by the way, this is Jonathan, who I've met a few times now, as a matter of fact, was at our rebar show back on the Vanniversary thing, and I ran into him at a snacks comedy hour recently. Jonathan's a great guy. So is his best friend, partner, karaoke queen, and the person who is always there for him, Anna. And he's wishing her a happy Blur's Day. He says, you are my favorite human, and this is about as close to telling my girlfriend on KPLZ that I love you.
Oh, you
great?
Know, honestly, week in and week out, people wishing each other happy birthday and talk, and particularly when it's like they're in a relationship and they say something nice about them, it warms my heart.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. Jen in Stockton, California says, happy Blur's Day to my daughter, Harley. She's an occasional TBTL listener because I constantly talk to her about you guys. She is turning 25 today, and I'm going to be driving up to Eureka to see her while listening to these Blur's Day wishes.
Jen has to know that I, as a youngster, spent time in Eureka, right?
She put a little note in there, like, shout out to Lugals.
Go visit the Lighthouse Ranch. I don't know what it's called now, but that's where he lived, on Table Bluff.
Go you Huskies. Eureka Huskies, that thing?
Nope,
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good try.
I mean, you know.
Is that State in Maine? What is that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's State in Maine, that mammoth film. Joanne says, I want to wish a happy Blur's Day to my son and fellow 10, Jake. He's smart, funny, selfless, and a true servant to his beautiful wife, 4 energetic kids, and loyal pup. Happy Blur's Day to you, Baco.
Okay, inside joke. I don't know why, for some reason, that's making me hungry.
The
word Baco.
Oh.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not even joking. I think it's just making me think of, at Costco, they have these things called like a chicken bake, which is... It's like a, I don't know, doughy thing with chicken and cheese baked into the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe going to that vegan or vegetarian butcher shop, maybe it was a mistake. Maybe that aroused a meat craving in me that I didn't know. But anyway.
I am really hungry. I haven't
eaten. Did you know that I moved my flight back so that I could go to this vegetarian place on my way out of town.
Well, that's funny because you moved it forward, and now you've moved it back again. You just That's where the opposite. Like, I think that you just like moving around flights, whereas I never want to mess around with
A couple things. One, it's free for me to do because I am an Alaska Airlines warlock.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm an Alaska Airlines shapeshifter.
Uh-huh.
So I can just do it for free. It doesn't cost me anything. So that's a little bit kind of addictive. And then the other thing is the flight that I was going to be on, because we're going to record a Hey Dummies video after this.
Yeah.
I was worried it was going to get a little close to that time of when I needed to leave. And there was another flight that was just 3 hours later. And the flight that I was on, I was going to be middle seat in like the 25th row because it was just totally sold out.
Yeah.
This flight that I am now on already got upgraded to first class.
Oh, nice. Oh, sweet, sweetness.
Yeah. It's nice being a warlock.
I need to check in on my flight too because I don't want to be – I had put in an aisle seat on the way here. And then when I went to check in, they had me at a window. And I was what has happened?
I did not
approve of this at all. By the way, so I mean, how close – we don't have to talk about this. I might go to that vegan with you.
They have so –
is it close?
Yeah, here's the only issue is that they have a bunch of stuff that is meant to be cooked. So they have all kinds of like brats. Actually, you know what? They'll cook the brats for you, though.
I see, because you're supposed to take it home. Right.
That's where we could do the Hey Dummies video.
You want to? Okay,
yes.
We can give it a shot.
Let's do that.
But can I also
every week the Hey Dummies is going to be one of us eating vegetarian food.
But do they have like tables and stuff there?
They have a couple of little benches outside where you can sit, and it's lovely. And we could make our little video.
I would eat a fake turkey sandwich.
Yeah, I had I got the Italian yesterday. I'll maybe get the fake turkey today.
All right. Also, I have a note here from Harley who says, I want to wish my 5, Dalen, a happy 9th Blur's Day. You guys, by the way, I don't know, Luke, if you recall this, it sounds like it wasn't too long ago. You guys made her weekend when we chatted at the Thing Festival, then Luke sang happy birthday to her at the stroke of midnight with the Napoleon Dynamite crew.
I totally remember this. It was so cute. There was a question and answer at the end of the Napoleon Dynamite thing. And this young person, Dalen, came up and she said, it's my birthday tomorrow. And then I looked at my watch and I realized it was 12:10. That's how late that stinking thing went. I said, is it actually your birthday today? Is it now that day? And she said, yeah, it is. And then all of the Napoleon Dynamite folks, which would be Napoleon, Pedro, and Uncle Rico, they led the crowd in the singing of happy birthday to Dalen. So this has been a banner days for Dalen.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Calm down. Nice. Save some for the rest of us.
Well, I think she deserves it because Harley says that she is the sweetest, smartest.
She did seem very sweet.
And sassiest little 9-year-old you ever will meet.
You know what else Dalen didn't do, which I appreciated? She did not try to ask multiple questions. We had kids that were waiting in the Q&A line. It was a lot of young people, actually. Uh-huh. And they would ask a question. And then I was getting all this grief from the stage manager who was like, we got to wrap this up. But I didn't want, you know, people had stayed very late. I felt bad not letting most of the people ask their question. And the Napoleon Dynamite folks were like, hey, whatever, we'll stay here. We don't care. So then a couple of these little shits, not Dalen, this one little shit in a Patagonia hat, he like asks a question. And then he goes and gets back in line, and then he gets to the front, and I'm like, bruh, you already asked a question. I recognize your hat. And he's like, okay, just real quick. And then he asked a second question, and his second question was something that had already been asked by somebody else. And I was like, worst question ever, dude.
That's not great, but it's better than I thought. I thought they were just like not giving up the mic and asking a bunch of questions in a row. Like him leaving and getting back into line it's appropriate. He's back at the end of the line. He's not getting in anybody's way.
But then when I chastised him from the stage and said, kid, you already asked a question.
Yeah.
I had a very adversarial relationship with the crowd.
Like, did you win him over?
No, I didn't.
Okay, good.
I said, you already asked a question. And then he didn't, like, if I was his age and the guy on stage was saying, enough from you, I would have, first of all, just die. I would have found a hole to crawl into and die. But these kids these days, Andrew, they don't have the proper response to being insulted from the stage by a 43-year-old man. This kid just barreled through with his question, which was a question that had already been asked. So it was like, double bad.
I think you'd have a different attitude if you had seen the same 4-H performance I saw yesterday. Because I don't know about you, but I believe the children are the future now.
Mm-hmm, sure.
They didn't do that song. I have a question for you, Luke.
Yeah.
The country. Chile or Chile? I grew up saying Chile.
Me too.
I know that it's pronounced Chile, but yeah. I also don't. Is that an affectation? Like,
I don't know. You know,
Chile,
I noticed
proper.
I noticed that Hayes, Chris Hayes, he speaks Spanish, and so he will say things like with a Spanish accent.
Right.
And I've even seen people on Twitter being like, "Hey, that was cool how you said El Salvador, El Salvador." Mm-hmm. Like you said it like it's said, and he was like, "Well, yeah, because I speak Spanish and just being appropriate." I know that's the thing to do. I know that that's probably a way of, I guess, honoring a culture and a language and trying to get it as close as you can. I can't help but shake the feeling for me it would feel like an affectation.
Yeah, especially because I don't speak Spanish.
But you do eat Chile.
But I do eat Chile. I'm going to say Chile because I think that's proper here. But this is from Rachel, and she's in Denver. No, just kidding. This is from Rachel. She's in Chile. I'd like to wish my dear husband, Brad, a very happy Blur's Day after more than 20 years together. I'm still glad we can come home and talk TBTL, science, and any other nonsense that comes up. Mostly poop jokes.
Sure.
I can't think of a better person to co-bro the globe with.
Aw, see?
Nice, right?
I mean, if you started today, if you started this show as a listener down on the idea of love,
right?
I think that these Blur's Day messages have probably done some good work.
Stop reading Down with Love. What movie is that? There's a movie about a woman who wrote a book called Down with Love. Romantic comedy. I really like it. Michael, who is the sound machine guy in Alameda, California.
The one I'm playing right this minute. Michael. And but check this out. Look what else I can do. Let me find a longish one of these. How about this laughter?
Just stopped it cold.
Just froze it.
Turned it off.
Right in his track.
Wow.
Like, that's the power. I'm drunk with power and Starbucks coffee because of this sound machine that Michael made for me.
Do you think that he can make me a remote control that could do that so that I can stop your sound effects?
Can he make me a remote control that I can stir my drinks with?
Can he make you a remote control that stops me when I'm about to go on a Bonvoy rant?
Can God or Bod, as he's known? I call him God the Bod. Can God the Bod microwave a remote control so hot that he can't eat it? Is the classic philosophical question.
God create a remote control that's so germy it'll give him a cold. All right, let's...
Oh, you mean God the Bod?
God the Bod. Hold on a second here. I'm going to reset. Do you mind if we start all the Blur's Days from the top? I just feel like we can do it a little just sharper. Candy in Chicago is the final Blur's Day message we have today. Candy says, I have a belated Blur's Day shout out to Carolyn.
Okay.
Happiest of Blur's Days to the super nerd.
Nice.
Do you have any nerd sounds on that?
Let's see. What's the nerd? It's kind of nerdy.
That's kind of nerdy. I can see somebody kind of pushing up their glasses to that sound.
This is kind of a... It's a scared nerd.
Oh, is that what the button says?
Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me. That's right. They're little symbols. They're not actual descriptions.
It's a nerd that's burping.
Boy, I had the burps at this meet and greet thing. I was drinking Miller Lite, as discussed, and I'm beating our brand new boss and some people from this distribution network, and I just keep on going. I keep on doing that John Mulaney burping thing, and then I'm apologizing.
Talk through it.
And I just kept pointing to my beer like, oh, this is happening to all of us, right? But you know what? No. Our sophisticated new boss was not burping in my face as she was talking to me. Candy in Chicago is shouting out to Carolyn. Happy of Blur's Days to the super nerd. Continue kicking behind as you get your degree.
Right.
May this year be the best bet. You know, when I was writing that before, I read it a bunch of times. I didn't understand kicking behind. Is that a phrase people are using? Behind is another word for tushy.
For bottom.
Yes, now I get it. Happy Blur's Day, Carolyn.
Happy Blur's Day, you guys.
I know that if we restarted the show right now,
it would
be
good.
We could do this all, and I'm just warming up, man.
I know.
It was a late night last night. We got back to the hotel at 3.
No way. Was it really that late?
I hit the hay at like 3:10.
Ay, Dios mío.
I slept through my alarm.
Whoa.
When I texted you this morning at 9.
I ate through my alarm.
I was so hungry when we got back here, and I had no snacks.
You should have been. I was buying snacks by the bagful.
That is
you,
true.
Me, and Wu, and our other friend,
true.
Mike. All right. I think that this is a good place to end this show. Do we? Should we do good old words, or you want to do another French kick song, or what are you feeling?
Let's do words. Okay. I wish I feel
what
like
about
somewhere...
show titles? Did we?
Yeah, I wrote down one. I feel like somewhere out there, there's the perfect
the
fair
llama
song.
Who mounts the world.
Is that one that you wrote down? That's pretty good.
That's one you said that I wrote down.
I also said fix the beginning of the show when we restarted. Okay, I'll do okay. that. I wrote down Bonvoy is just another word for nothing left to lose.
It's so long though.
I kind of like it. Okay. Yeah, with our new site, the longer headlines, you can still see them all, but it leaves less room for other text. But
let's mention
really
something
like
on that.
That
subject real quick, okay. which is we have a new, newly designed TBTL.net site, and there are still a few things that are being ironed out, mm-hmm. and some people have been emailing in, and keep doing that, by the way. Let us know how it's working for you, but also know that it is still, you know, we're gonna continue to do some tweaks to make it the absolute best place that it can be for you.
Yeah.
So if you're finding anything kind of a little kludgy or not working or not working for you, this is still kind of a bit of a work in progress.
Yeah, but it is it's a really sweet looking site. I think it's so much better than our other one. So shout out to Christina and or as we call her, Kiki, Lolo, and all the other folks who've been working on it at APM and ironing out those bugs too.
All right. Thank you for listening, everybody. We're going to be back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio for you, live from the Minneapolis State Fair.
Wonder how that'll go.
Yeah, there's no way to know. We should go back and re-record that show, too.
We should.
Sorry, Paul Huttner, Weather Talk. We're kicking you out. That's we're taking right. the stage over. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow. And until then, please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
I want you to say bon voy.
Oh. Bon voyage.
Have fun storming the castle.